This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Thank you for joining the Sue Freeze Show today. I'm so excited to be here with you. You know, in the studio today, I have some special people with me. I have Todd Jensen. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And I have my son who doesn't want to talk on the mic, and I don't mind. I don't blame him. You know, he's just, that's not his thing. And, you know, we all have our gifts and our pluses in life, and, you know, we just need to know our limits and sometimes press them and sometimes not. But he's been kind enough to actually come and sit next to me as moral support, and I really appreciate Tyson being with me today. And what we're going to do today is we're kind of changing a little bit, but not really, because this Sue Free Show is about giving hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. And I wrote a book recently, and the book is called Learning to Breathe, and I just really feel that it's important for people to know that this book exists. And people say, well, what's the book about? Is it about yoga? And I say, well, no, it's not about yoga. There's a lot that went into this book, and there's a story behind how the book even came to be, and we could go a lot of different directions with that. My goal for today, our goal for today, is to help you, or maybe somebody that you know that might have some of the same issues as we faced, Tyson faced. He's now 32, but during his childhood years, he had chronic asthma. And those of you that have had any type of issues with respiratory at all, where you've had trouble breathing, whether, you know, pneumonia, if you had pneumonia, you'd understand this. Asthma is a huge thing. And people don't talk about it much. And people just try to deal with it the best they can. Mothers sometimes with their children don't even know that their children might have it or do have it. And once they find out, they don't know what they can do. So for lack of knowledge, people perish. And as a young mother with my first son, I just did whatever I could. And the information wasn't as readily available as it is today. But if I could take all that information and put it into a book so those that have need for this information had one place to go to look for the answers, then that's what this book is about. But it's so much more than that. And the reason I have Todd Jensen in here, and I'm just going to give you a little background on him, is he is an award-winning journalist and author, featured by lines in more than 100 publications around the world. He's also the author of the beloved On Gratitude, and we can never do enough of that, can we? You know, in the Bible it says, give thanks in all things. And, you know, I find out that when I am down, that the thing that can get me up the quickest is for me to think about all the things that I'm thankful for. And it's amazing how it will bring me from a low to a somewhat of a high, or maybe even more than a somewhat of a high, but a real high, because we have so much to be thankful for. And I don't know where you are right now. I don't know where you are, but God does. God knows right where you are. And he wants to meet you right where you are right now. And no matter where you are, I know that there's someone that's got it worse off than you do. And I know that's kind of hard to say or to hear, because you're thinking, oh, if you only knew. But, you know, we all have our life story. We all have our journeys. And I can tell you that, you know, I have mine too. And I will tell you that I'm thankful for everything that's happened up until this point in my life. And the reason I'm thankful is because I would not be the person I am today and have the sensitive heart that I have, if it hadn't been the things that I went through. So getting back to Todd and gratitude, I wanted to stop because I wanted people to understand that they can look and they can find something to be thankful for each and every day. But on the gratitude book that he wrote, he had people that spoke into this book. People such as, you probably recognize some of these names, Sheryl Crow, Jeff Bridges, Alicia Keys, Daryl Hall. Anna Kendrick, B.B. King. Do any of those ring a bell? There are even 42 more celebrities that share what they were most thankful for. He lives in Los Angeles with his three sons. He teaches yoga, volunteers with Boy Scouts of America and Youth Arts Program, and packs approximately 15 school lunches every week. That's really cute. That's really fun. And, you know, that's a dad that's, you know, invested in his children. And, you know, dad's out there and mom's in there. Even just packing those lunches, you know, sometimes it seems so, you know, just, ugh, so. But you know what? Those are the important things. Those little things in life are the most important things in life. So the reason I have Todd on the show today is because Todd was a very big part in making this Learning to Breathe book happen. I did have a story to tell, but I needed someone to put it on paper for me. I needed someone to help me, you know, gather my thoughts and put them in some type of readable order. And he did above and beyond what I could have, you know, ever imagined as far as putting my heart and my thoughts in this book. Sorry. You know, it's really difficult to put your life on the line and put your life out there for other people to read. So this book has different stories in it. It has stories of the highs and the lows, and in other stories, in other shows, I've said that, you know, our life isn't filled with just highs or just lows. Rick Warren said it best, as far as I'm concerned, and he said that it's like railroad tracks, and you've got two set of tracks going the same direction. You know, they're going parallel to each other, and you've got your one track, that's your highs, and you got your other track, that's the lows. And the best thing we can say is, you know, hopefully in our lives we have more highs than we have lows. But you know what? If we don't have the lows, we don't appreciate the highs. So it's really important that we realize that when we're going through this journey of life, that there are going to be lows and there's going to be highs. And we are being judged, we're being looked at as to how we handle each and every situation that comes our way. And hopefully we do that with a reverence for Christ. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we need to submit one to another, meaning that, you know, it's good to put the other person's needs in front of our own when we can do that. There are times when we have to have healthy boundaries and we have to say, no, that's not going to happen, or we're not going to do that. And again, I'm thinking about you, listener out there, and I'm thinking about where you are in your life. And I don't know where you are. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and I will picture a single person that's driving in their car, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me to speak to that one person. And I don't know who that person is. And then later, that person, when I'm somewhere doing something, will walk up to me and said, remember the show you did on blah, 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 and you said, I'm talking to you right now. They would come to me and they would tell me that you were talking to me right there, and let me tell you the story. And it's an amazing thing when I get those types of stories. So, Todd, I want to talk to you about, you've been very patient, I've been just talking along here, but I want to talk to you about the book and about the writing of the book. I want people to understand what goes into writing any book, not just this book, but any book. There's a lot that goes into writing a book.
Well, I think about this book in particular, you did the hard part, which is you actually lived the stories. So all I had to do was to be quiet and listen to you tell me the experiences that you and your family had had. And they are thrilling and heartbreaking and ultimately really redemptive. It was just my job to capture your voice and put that on the page.
And you did that, and I'm so forever grateful.
Thank you.
You know, when you're writing a book, it's like when I was thinking about all the things, it's like, you know, well, how do you get started? I've had people say, well, gosh, you wrote a book, you know, how did you do this and everything? And I'm like, well, I didn't do it alone. I had help, which is great. But you have to put things in some type of time order. And I felt that, you know, when I got asked, I've been interviewed many times because of this book. And they said, you know, what did you learn by doing this book? And something that happened that I wasn't prepared for or expecting is that by putting my experiences on paper where, okay, the birth of the baby, this happened here, and this happened here, and then it's like you have these gaps of memory that are there, at least for me, I did. And by putting a timeline on my life and figuring out where things happened. Okay, when did my parents tell me they were going to get divorced? When did I receive the Lord? You know, all these highlights, all these big things, some are good and some are bad, but they all had their reasons for being, and I don't have all those answers, but God does. But what happened is it filled in some of the gaps, and it created a new understanding as to, you know, the person I am today and how I come to the belief system that I'm in now. And even reading the book, because when you write a book or you have someone help you write a book, I've read this book now 6 times. How many times have you read it, Todd?
Hundreds.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I've only read it 6 times. But in every time, I'm even getting something out of the book that maybe I missed or that didn't have the same level of intenseness, if that's a word, that I thought the first time I went through it. So when you're putting together a book and you're putting together a story, you have to somehow have a timeline. And figuring out the first line was really important. Like in the book, the Bible, it says, in the beginning is the first line in the book, the Bible. And so we spent a little time on the first line. What is the first line? I don't even remember.
When I was 4 years old, I stopped breathing for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. And okay, so those of you that are listening that have ever stopped breathing or had a struggle to breathe, now it's funny because my life, I have to remind myself to breathe. And it's not because of asthma. It's because I just get like overwhelmed sometimes. And it's just, I'm on high. I'm going all the time that I just sometimes assume, breathe, just breathe. And I have to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out just to get on with the next breath. But those of you that are suffering with asthma or suffering with breathing, when you can't get that breath, it's a scary feeling. It's almost like drowning. You know, you're below the surface of the water, and you can see the you can see the air above there, but you're struggling to get to that air, and it's like you can't get there, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, my time's running out, and I'm not going to make it to the top to get that air. And that's how it feels, and there's this heaviness on the chest, and finding, especially at night, trying to find a way to sleep is just really, really difficult. And it's always worse at night when you're the most tired and you want sleep so bad, you're deprived of sleep and you really want to just get a good night's sleep and you can't because you can't get that next breath. So putting the timeline together, figuring out the first line, you have to have some type of order. But the way you put this together, as far as the stories and everything, it's, you know, we can jump around as long as we fill in the gaps. And the stories are so, I don't know, I even, knowing the story ahead of time and reading the book, I could not put the book down, because reading the book, it's like because of the way you wrote it, the way you made the words, you know, jump out on the page, that it just made it to where it was like, wow, what's happening next? So pretty amazing.
It's interesting to me what you said about the therapeutic aspect of reading the book and seeing your life sort of put in a timeline and in that kind of context, because they've always said, and one of the great gifts for me as a writer is that there is a very therapeutic quality to it. I'm a big proponent of Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, and he sets it all out there. And he did this half a century ago where he talks about the different stages of every person's life. He was talking primarily about narrative and mythology, but it applies to your life and your son's life and my life too. We receive these calls to action. And they usually come in the form of tremendous challenges. In this case, it was your son's asthma. And then we refuse that call sometimes because we're scared, because we don't know what we need to know, because we feel too small to face these challenges. And of course, we're never given challenges too big. Then we rise to those challenges. And that's a series of confrontations and a series of escalating face-offs, essentially, where we become the heroes in our own lives. And if we're lucky, in our children's lives, too. And I think that that is really the arc of learning to breathe. You received the call to action. Your son was life-threateningly ill. And over the course of a couple of years, you were able to learn what you needed to know, embolden yourself in the ways that you needed to be emboldened, become empowered, become infused with your faith, with God's guidance, and then lead him and your family to a healthier, happier place. That's the story of learning to breathe.
Wow, I couldn't have said that better myself. That's really awesome. And, you know, because you helped write this and you put it so, you just said it so well on paper that it's just, I really hope those listening will, if you know somebody, you know, chances are you do. If I gave you some statistics, which I'm going to do, these statistics are in the book. At the very end, I have a bonus chapter that talks about everything else you need to know to keep you and your family safe and healthy. And some of the things that are important to know is the American Lung Association stated that 50% of all illnesses are caused or made worse by harmful indoor allergens. Asthma alone has increased by 75% since 1980. That is huge. I mean, just think about that. 1 in 13 American children suffer from asthma. 1 in 8 children have asthma in California. You know, we don't have all the answers, but for me, learning what triggered Tyson's asthma and me taking away as many triggers as I could so that he could live a better life and sleep better at night. You know, as a parent, we want to do all we can to make our children's lives the best they can be. And in doing that, I learned so much. I was an asthmatic as a child, too. I had my tonsils out because the doctors at the time, they didn't know what would help. So they said, well, let's just try this. And so I got my tonsils out. And I loved all the attention. I loved the Jell-O. I loved all of the things that came with that, except for the sore throat. But I will tell you that my asthma did lessen after that. I don't know if it was coincidence because of age or if it was because of my tonsils. Don't know. But now they're saying, you know, God gave us all these body parts for a reason, and should we be taking them away? And really, you know, I believe that. I think he was the almighty creator, so I think that those parts should stay if they can. You wrote a book called Gratitude, and I just want to ask you about that. That was an important journey for you, Todd. Why was that an important journey for you?
Like so many people, my life turned into a really bad country western song for a number of years. It was just everything. It was the leaky roof, the runaway dog, the cheating wife, the broke down car. It was everything all at once. And I was feeling pretty bad about things. And then a good friend of mine, whom I hadn't spoken with in almost 20 years, she showed up in my life and she said, you know what? For everything you've lost, you're still the richest man I know. And I thought she was insane. I thought Lorelei was out of her mind. And she said, no, just stop for a second. And with me, while I'm sitting here, tell me the things that are going right in your life. Count your blessings with me. So I started doing that very reluctantly at first. I was incredibly skeptical. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world to do. But I had my health. I had my children. I do what I love for a living. And the list just went on and on and on. And so she gave me this challenge. Do that every day. Do that every time you're feeling low. Do that every time you're feeling down. And I did. And what really shifted for me is in the interviews that I was doing as a magazine journalist at the time, I was hearing repeatedly in almost every conversation I was having for the magazine work that I do that people were grateful. More than that, they were usually most grateful for the hardest times in their lives. The sudden loss, the sudden job loss, the death, the illness. The hardest moments in their lives are the things that people were most grateful for. And that's a through line in the book that I wrote on gratitude, is we take these moments as that call to action I was referencing a moment ago about Joseph Campbell. Those hard moments are the moments where we are really asked to stand up, transcend, and overcome. And those are moments to celebrate.
That is so true. There is a scripture that comes to mind when you say that, and I'm hoping this touches you. As a listener, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And that goes with what we're talking about right now, is that we don't have all the answers, do we? Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. That's Proverbs 15:22, meaning that we need to look for those people that can help us and guide us, just like your friend did for you. I mean, that was just such an encouraging word, and it was a directive that you could take and run with, and it helped you get through that trying time. And that's what the show is about also, is about just that. And if you're not sure what show you're listening to, this is the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. you know, those of you that are listening and you think that there's somebody that you'd want to share this show with, don't be worried about it, because you can just remember Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. Remember that and understand that you have 4 years of podcasts on there. You can look it up by date, by ministry, by guest, and by topic. And you can find what you're looking for there. I've had some amazing people on this show. I've had some amazing topics on this show. And those podcasts are there for you whenever you want. And please connect with me. I love connecting with you. I love it when people write me little notes and tell me how their life has changed, or maybe a topic matter in which they'd want me to discuss on the air. And all you have to do is go to Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and there's an email place to connect, and just put your information in there, tell me what you want, and I look and read every single one of those. And there's quite a few, and it's getting more all the time, and I'm so thankful and grateful for that.
It's also, incidentally, the place to order your book, Learning to Breathe.
You know, Todd, you are the best promoter, I'm telling you. You really are. You know, let's get into the book a little bit. In one of my interviews, they asked me the question is, you know, can you tell me a story, one of the stories that's in here? And the story that comes to mind more often than not, and I don't know if Tyson even remembers this because he was so sick at the time, and I don't remember his age exactly, but it was a time in which he was really coughing a lot. It was late at night. It was probably midnight. And my little one, Tiana, she's 2 years younger, 2 years and 9 months, actually, to the day. And she was asleep in her little pajamas. And Tyson, I just heard the cough, and the cough got more and more. And, you know, those that know what I'm talking about, it's a dreadful time when the asthma kicks in and the nights just become very long. Anyway, he got so bad that the coughing was creating this knee-jerk reaction, and I had to get a bucket, and you know what I'm talking about, because it caused him to do other things. And so I decided enough is enough. I gathered my daughter, put her in the back seat, in her seat, buckled her all in and, you know, blanketed her all up. And then I got Tyson and I carried him to the car with a bucket that already had stuff in it. And anyway, so we're driving to the hospital. We get to the hospital and, you know, I'm letting everybody know I need help with my son. He can't breathe. And it was a 20-minute drive. Anyway, we get there and Tiana, I didn't realize, but she had grabbed the bucket. And I'm getting Tyson into a room, getting people to pay attention that he needs help now. And all of a sudden I hear clink, clang, clung, and my daughter had dropped the bucket full of stuff all over the emergency floor. And, you know, I got a lot of attention. Tyson got the help he needed. So it was a good thing all the way around. But, you know, if you can relate to that, it was an interesting experience, to say the least. So, you know, that was just one experience out of many experiences in this book. There's a lot that I could talk about, but I would rather you just get the book and read it or share it with somebody. What do you think, Todd?
Where can we order that book?
Well, you can order it by going to Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble, and you can get it on Kindle. What am I missing?
Amazon.com.
So you can go to any of those places and get it. If you want me to autograph it, you know, I'm not used to that. But if you want me to autograph it, just go to the SueFreeze.com site. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world. Termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola, for allowing us to be on this show. People ask me a question and they say, what is writing this Learning to Breathe book have to do with Ecola? Or what does Ecola have to do with learning to breathe? And I'm going to make the connection right now and just let you know that, you know, Ecola was birthed for me. I bought the company 14 years ago. And the whole reason why I got involved with Ecola was because they were the alternative treatment company. They're the non-chemical company. And because I had a son who had chronic asthma, and I was looking for solutions, other ways of dealing with the every household issues that come along, I learned so much about, you know, chemicals, products that we use, carpet, dust, and just what, you name it. I learned so much about all of those things that I thought, if there's a better way to get rid of the problem, then why not? And if I'm going through all of these things, there are other people that are going through things similar. So if I can have a way of helping others, like I found the help, then why not? And that's where Ecola and Learning to Breathe kind of go together. So today on the show, I have Todd Jensen, who helped write this book. He took my heart, he took my mind, he took my words, put them on paper, and made it make sense. And so, Todd, I'm going to turn this radio show over to you because you wanted to ask me questions and do some things. So you're on.
Yeah, I think one of the things listeners would be interested in hearing is what you would like someone who reads Learning to Breathe to take from the experience. There's so much that's covered in this book, both your personal life, your spiritual life, and then this incredible journey about how you saved your son from this life-threatening asthma, and then all of these steps that we can do to help prevent asthma in our own lives. But what would you like readers to take from the book?
First and foremost, in you know, the thread that is me, that's woven in there, is because of all of the trials and tribulations that I've gone through, is that God saw me through all of them, and then he gives me the hope that I need in order to go forward. And I want to give those that read the book, those that listen to the show, those that have the need of pest control or termite with Ecola, I want to be the help. I want to be the hope, you know, in an area in which I can be. And so I guess that's the message above and beyond everything else, is that if I have the answer, if I can feel the need, then I want to do that. And I'm feeling and hoping that this book will be a instrument to help other people go through a trying time. And not only with, you know, the facts that I learned, but also just giving them the emotions, because it's much easier to go through hard times knowing you're not alone. And when someone knows that you're not alone, if they know that they've got someone there as a support or someone there that can help them through a situation, then it makes it a lot easier to go through.
Beautiful. It says right here on the back of the book, this is a hero's journey for the parent in all of us, a how-to manual for keeping your child healthy, written with the passion of a loving mother, the wisdom of a successful businesswoman, the devotion of a deeply spiritual woman, and the emotional charge and high-voltage suspense of a great thriller. These are things you'd be too modest to say about your own book, but they are true.
You know, it's funny because when you just read that, I'm thinking the only thing I would change in that is that I don't feel like a hero. I just feel like I did what I had to do. And so, you know, that was the only thing. It's like, oh, hero. I don't feel like a hero. I just feel like, you know, I'm just being a mom.
You answered your call to action.
Yes, yes, and we all have that call. It's whether we're going to listen to it and take action.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. So you wanted to read something.
Yeah, let's read the introduction to Learning to Breathe. And again, the book is available at suefreeze.com. You can also follow Sue and the book at Twitter. That's at BreatheBook, Twitter at BreatheBook. And the book is also on Facebook, Learning to Breathe Book at Facebook. And this is the introduction to Learning to Breathe by Sue Freeze from Genesis Chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. When I was 4 years old, I stopped breathing for the first time. It was an unusually chilly February night in Southern California. I was curled up beneath my comforter, the room dark, the fear in my body darker still. Without thinking about it, our eyes blink, our hearts beat, and our lungs breathe 15 times a minute. But my body wasn't breathing. I imagined being held underwater, the safety of being enveloped by the cool liquid, but the pressure on my chest, wishing to be born again, but not to die. It was a desperate and haunted collision of divinity and terror. All I could do was curl up like an infant, try to clear some space in my body, lift my hips with a pillow, like clinging to a lifeboat and waiting for the breath to return. I struggled with breathing all of my life, suffering from asthma that got better and worse, and then much worse for reasons no one in my family understood. Sometimes it was how the wind blew. Other times it seemed cued to the lunar cycle. Maybe it was the garden, or maybe it was the food I ate. I learned to be afraid of everything, most especially the things I could not see. Millions of Americans live this way every single day of their lives. 250,000 of them will die this year, unable to breathe, something most of us do without ever stopping to think about it. I don't think I really learned how to breathe until my own son suffered the same cruel fate, grasping for breath, clawing at his throat, trying to open a space he could not find, clutching his chest, sweating, shaking, terrified. The only terror greater than a child's fear would be a parent's. Tyson was 2. His father was a firefighter, paramedic. Ironically, he spent most of our family's life saving other people's children, but here was our son, like so many people's sons, in the middle of the night, suffocating before my very eyes. It was the same asthma that had tried to kill me. It had returned to claim my son, and that forced me to breathe. That first asthma attack was a warning shot. We were visiting friends with cats, and it began, the coughing and the wheezing. Tyson went from a perfectly normal, happy 2-year-old to a puffy, inflamed, red-faced, watery-eyed, gasping-for-breath little creature in a matter of minutes. His father had no idea what was happening, but I did, and it devastated me, the fear that came with that epiphany. My son is having an asthma attack. How could he be having an asthma attack? I'd done everything right during the pregnancy. I ate well. I exercised. Of course, I didn't smoke or drink. And then I breastfed Tyson. I did everything a good mother is supposed to do. But it happened anyway. My asthma had come to take away my boy. Tyson didn't have another attack for several months, but by the time he was 4, the real nightmare was beginning. The endless, sleepless nights. The terrifying emergency room runs. The realization that every breath could be his last. Being the parent of a child with asthma is as horrible as being a child with asthma, I believe, and I have been both. It is in our darkest moments that we find out who we really are. This was a new beginning for me, and it looked like this. Tyson is 4, tangled in blankets, his pajama shirt nearly shredded open, his body chilled but soaked in sweat. He's coughing so hard that he erupts in sputum. Vomit flies everywhere. He is scared. I can feel his fear in my bones. It mingles with my own. Though I am a petite woman, I find some reservoir of strength and scoop him under one arm, then deadlift his infant sister under the other arm. Wrapped in Star Wars bedsheets and comforters, we must look like some padded 3-headed alien. I grab a bucket from beneath the kitchen sink to catch the vomit I know will come again, and we fall into the car. I'm holding to the steering wheel with one hand, the barf bucket with the other, struggling to keep a calm composure for my children as we hit the road. A lot happens in 30 minutes. Families on television sitcoms have misunderstandings and completely resolve them in tidy little packages. Business deals are done. Lunches are devoured over friendly conversation. Or you can drive your child to the hospital, barely breathing, the both of you monitored only by a wet-diapered baby who hasn't a clue as to why the truck reeks of fear. I hold this fear in my stomach, in my throat. I'm swallowing a lot. I'm not sure that I'll be able to speak when I get to the hospital, but to the voices in my head, they're loud. My son, is he going to die? You will breathe 14,000 times today. In those 30 minutes, I would have given my life 1,000 times to borrow one of those breaths for my child. This story is not only mine, nor Tyson's. This is the story of 1 in 10 American children, victims of asthma that can be lethal. As it turns out, the most dangerous things in life are the ones you cannot see. What you breathe, what you inhale in the place you should feel safest, your home. According to the World Health Organization, most asthma, indeed most illnesses in general, are deeply aggravated by dust, dust mites, chemicals, bacteria, fungus, dander, waste, and mold. Most of these things are invisible. If you have spent your life learning to breathe and doing so by moving a mile a minute as I did, running businesses, ballroom dancing, raising children, riding horses, making ends meet, you don't stand a chance of seeing these things at all. Until you have to. And once the seeing starts, it never stops. Learning to breathe is a story of how what you do not know and cannot see can hurt or maybe kill you And more than that, it's the story of how to see the things you cannot see and how to keep your own loved ones safe. If you're reading this now, it's probably because you need to breathe too, and you love someone who does. This is a story of 100 vacuum cleaners and acupuncture, of mold stains and pet adoptions, of plastic pillowcases and spooked horses, of congressmen and activism, of science and faith, of a marriage that bends, of emergency rooms and small coffins, of a mother learning how to become a champion by simply discovering for the first time in her life how to breathe and how to ensure her son has the same God-given privilege. It is your birthright to breathe and to breathe freely. As a spokesperson for United Against Indoor Air Pollution, an organization that is at the vanguard of understanding and eradicating the most dangerous airborne toxins in the environments we assume to be safest, our homes, our schools, our offices, my mission is to vanquish this national health crisis, to breathe the truth so that each and every one of us can do the same. You can vacuum your living room so many times it's more neatly groomed than center field at Wrigley Field. And I did. But it didn't keep me from that endless haul to the emergency room when Tyson was 4, or dozens of others exactly like it. There is so much you need to know about things you do not know, things I did not know, but do now. Learning to breathe is my journey. I have a feeling it's yours too. Let's walk it together and learn to breathe.
I don't think I could have read that. I was getting so stirred up and emotional in that whole thing because it's so true. It's so right on. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking about the book, Learning to Breathe, written by Sue Freeze and helped written by Todd Jensen. And we're on the show together because we want those listening that if you know somebody that needs this information, that needs encouragement, that needs direction, that this book will give that to you. So all you need to do is go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word.com, and order the book, and I will sign it for you and send it off to you as soon as I can, very quickly. And if that doesn't work for you, you can go to Amazon.com, you can go to Barnes & Noble, and they even have it on Kindle, right?
Kindle and Nook, both through Amazon. It's also available at the iTunes store. So if you have iBook for your iPad or your iPod, you can download it to your Apple device as well.
Pretty amazing. So I'm hoping that you'll share that. You know, we're getting close to Christmas, and maybe this would be a great Christmas gift to give to somebody. My whole heart, my whole goal is that, you know, I almost felt like I was going through this battle alone, and I was trying to figure everything out myself, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. And if you have resources and if you have things and you go, oh my gosh, that's exactly right, that's exactly how I feel, or that's exactly, it really helps to just have that. And you do have me. You can just contact me via Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word.com, and I will talk right back and help you along the way if you need it. So, you know, I have this Isaiah 55:8-9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts." You know, there's nothing wrong with us trying to understand why the wounds of life occur. However, the Bible clearly tells us not to depend on or lean on our own ability to answer the tough questions. Why? What he says is to trust the Lord with all your heart, in Proverbs. And I had to do that. I had to put my hope, my trust in God. And I could not lean on my understanding because I didn't understand why I'd done everything right. I didn't understand why, you know, this was happening. Just like everything else that's happened in my life, I don't understand why things happen. I just know they did. And we have a choice on how we're going to handle those situations. And like Todd said, you know, you can hang on to the victim mentality and you can say, why me, Lord? And you can get into that. Or you can say, you know, this happened to me. How can I turn this around and help somebody else that may be going through something similar? So my heart and my goal is to help others find the hope that maybe they don't feel right now, to give them help if they need the help. There are many, many suffering children of asthma that can't afford to get even the roach problem taken care of in their homes. You know, all these types of things. And here I have an opportunity where I can help there. And so that's my goal. That's my mission. That's my ministry, is to help people you know, find a need and fill it. I say, and bloom where you're planted. I say, I didn't come up with those sayings, but they fit. And so I'm suggesting that you have issues or you see needs that maybe you could fill too. Please share this book with others. Let people know about it, because I don't know how to get it out any more than just telling people about it. So there you go. What else would you like to share, Todd?
I think one of the important things to know about learning to breathe is that it's not only for families that are suffering with asthma, but it's also for people that are dealing with hard times in their lives. I mean, one of the incredible themes of the book is how we are able to, even in our darkest moments, even in our most challenging situations, we're able to rise above them through the power of faith, through relying on our heart, through really committing and devoting ourselves to certain purposes. That transcends simply dealing with a child with asthma, which incidentally 1 in 8 children in California do. But there's really a call in this book and throughout this book for everyone who reads it to be more heroic in their own lives. And that's a message, I think, that's really worth hearing, really worth experiencing, because everybody experiences challenges in their lives. It may be illness, it may be asthma, it may be much worse, frankly, but we can all be heroes in our own lives.
I just flipped the book open to chapter 3, and on chapter 3, the scripture, because I have scriptures in every single chapter. It starts with a scripture that goes along with what the chapter is about. And chapter 3 says, "But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." That's Romans 3:5. And that's exactly what we're saying right now, is that, you know, through our trials and our tribulations, we become more and we realize what we're made of. And it's amazing. And, you know, I was talking at the very beginning of the show about the timeline that was created, because there were a lot of gaps, a lot of memories not there. And then when I put a date in which I remembered, like the birth of a baby or, you know, just different things that happened, and then I filled in the gaps, it was amazing what I realized during those times of that, you know, when people ask you to remember your past, a lot of the times what you remember are the tough times. Those are the things that glare at you. They're the things that come to your mind quickly, you know, spontaneously. They come to you, and it's because it's a hurdle that you've gotten over. It's something that created something, character within you, that you had to kind of lean on God, lean on yourself, realize what you're made of, so that you could endure and make it through and persevere through those hard times. And that's really a good thing, because as we do that, we realize that, you know, God says he won't give us more than we can handle. And he doesn't. Sometimes it feels like he is allowing things to happen that we think we can't handle, but he knows better than we do. And we can handle these things. And it's not for us to ask why, but we just have to trust the Lord that he's got it. And we just need to be faithful and be thankful for all the things that we have. And if we do those things, life will turn out just the way God wanted it to. And so I'm encouraging you right now to, number one, get the book, read the book. It's there for you. It's heartfelt. It's from my heart to yours. And I'm hoping that you get it. I hope that you read it. And I know that it will change you. There's something in there that's going to change something in you. And so I just know that. I feel that from the deepest part of my heart. And, you know, we're called to be transparent and vulnerable. And when we do that, there is great reward, because people, it's so easy to put on a mask and say everything is okay. It's so easy to just go through life and not let people really get to know the real you, the sensitive you that's inside there. But you know what? As I've grown older and wiser, I'm realizing that when I open up and I let people in, that it helps me, but even more so, I get such a reward in realizing that by me opening up and being vulnerable, that I'm helping other people. And you know what? God gave us grace, and I live in grace every day. You know, I just am so thankful for God's grace, because we need it. We all need God's grace. And it says, "Judge, and you too shall be judged, and in the measure in which you judge, you will be judged." You know, so are you judging others or are you loving others? And I would encourage you to do more loving and less judging. And as you do that, you're going to find, you know, you're going to be in a happier place. Would you agree with that, Todd?
Absolutely. As you were speaking, it reminded me of the great author, Kurt Vonnegut, who wrote Slaughterhouse-Five and a number of other great books. And I had the privilege of speaking with him a number of times. And one of the things he shared with me is this: we are all here to help each other get through this life, whatever it is. And I think what he was sort of saying, and I think what this book is about, is that one of the greatest acts of giving you can possibly offer the world is to share your suffering, to share your testimony, to share your experience. And that's one of the things that Learning to Breathe does very, very beautifully. And incidentally, it's published by Zulon Press, which is the number one Christian book publishing company in the country.
And, you know, I didn't find that out until later. And I was like, that is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Another scripture that comes to mind is Psalm 25:10. It says, "But one thing we can be sure of, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful." And, you know, whether we understand that or not, that is true because he says it. So what are you going to do? What changes are you going to make in your life? You know, one thing you can do right now is just to buy this book, read this book, and I know it will change you.
Yeah, check out the book. Connect with us. The book is available for sale at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, at SueFreeze.com. It's also, we're on Twitter. We're tweeting all sorts of useful information, both biblically based and science based, all sorts of useful information for you in the journey that you're walking right now. That's at Breathe Book on Twitter or at Learning to Breathe Book on Facebook. Check us out.
Yes. No matter what we have gone through or what we will go through in the future, God promises. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand, right hand. That's Isaiah 41:10. So I'm hoping these scriptures are helpful. Todd, I really thank you for reading what you read, because there's no way I could have read that and got through it without emotionally, you know, tearing up and having my voice crack and whatever else happens when you get emotional. And Tyson, I know you haven't said a word, but I am just thank you for your support of being in the room with me, sitting right beside me, and it means so much to me. And I just want you to know how much I love you. He's just smiling. He's so cute. Anyway, I feel very blessed and very thankful and very fortunate to have both these men in this room right now. So it's really great. We have 1 minute left. So what do you want to say?
I would encourage everybody to, of course, pick up their copy of Learning to Breathe. But I also wanted to read this quick passage from the book. This is also from Isaiah, who seems to be quite prominent in our conversation today. But one of the scripture that's included in Learning to Breathe is Isaiah 46:3-4. "I have carried you since you were born. I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." And as I'm sitting here with Sue and her son Tyson, I know that these are words that really, truly, and deeply resonate for her as a mother. And Tyson, you're a lucky dude.
Thanks, Todd. So please connect with me. Connect with me on the SueFreeze.com site. And thank you, San Diegans, for listening too on KPRZ. Appreciate that too. You can go on the podcast and listen at your convenience.
God, you're forgiven. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E. coli,
powerful pest control services, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.